The last Mishnah of this Perek, which has been listing all of the arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in which Beis Shammai is more lenient than Beis Hillel, concerns Tumas Oihel. Tumas Oihel, as we've seen a couple of times already in the Masechta, is when Tumah is transferred from one item to another by being under the same roof as the other item, or by being over or under it. And this Mishnah is taken from Seches Olas, which teaches that if you have, let's say, a room with a roof on it, but going along the entire roof from one side to the other side is a crack, such that the entire roof is split effectively into two. In such a case, if there is, let's say, a dead body underneath one side of the roof, on one side of the crack, and underneath the other half of the roof, there is a particular item. That item will not become Tomei via Tumas Oihel from the dead body, since we look at it as not being under the same roof, since it's not the same roof. However, if any item is, let's say, placed on top of the roof where the crack is, and it connects both halves of the roof, even if that small item is not going across the whole length of the crack, but just at one point it connects the two sides of the roof, then we would look at the entire roof as being one roof, such that if there is something tome, like a dead body, underneath any part of any half of the roof, it will make anything under either half of the roof tome. As well as that, the Mishnah in Arles teaches that if, let's say, on the floor, there is something which creates another roof. So let's say, for example, a table. The table also serves as a roof for anything which is underneath the table. And the Mishnah there teaches that if that table is directly beneath the crack, then there exists a principle known as good asik. Good asik is when we imagine as if something which is lower down, we raise up all the way to the top. So we view this, the roof of the table, as if it is totally raised, and it goes up and reaches the top of this room where the roof is. In other words, we view as if the crack directly above where the table is situated has been filled up. So in the same way as if a small item was placed where the crack is, it connects the entire roof, it connects the two halves of the roof, so too, even if there is something underneath it on the floor, like a table, or anything which creates a roof over something else, as long as underneath that thing is at least a tefach of space, a tefach is the size of a fist, a very small amount, we use the principle of good asik to imagine that it goes all the way up and fills in the crack directly above it. This Mishnah discusses Adam Shunos Natachas Sedek, if a person is situated underneath the crack in this room, the crack in the roof of this room, and he's lying down. He does not extend the tumah by connecting both of these roofs together, since the person is lying directly on the ground, so he's not a roof over something, it's just the person there himself. We only apply the principle of good asik over here if the item which is on the floor is a roof itself. And then we can view it as if the roof reaches to the top where the other roof is. But if there's nothing underneath the person, then the person himself is not an oihel, he does not serve as a roof, and therefore he would not help to connect the two halves of the real roof. However, we still and we still say, Odom cholelhu, a person is considered hollow. His stomach, even though there are things inside, we can still split between the skin of the person and the insides. And the upper part of this person's body, the skin at the top of his body, where he's lying down, we look at that as if it's a roof with things underneath it, and his whole body is effectively being roofed by his skin, his upper half, and therefore maybe it's a tumor, it would help to extend and transfer the tumor by connecting the two halves of the real roof, which is above the person, such that if there was tumor underneath one half of that roof, it would spread it to an item which is situated on the other underneath the other half of the roof. Perek Hei Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shisha Devarim, there are an additional six things which are Mekula Beis Shammai Mechum Beis Hillel, cases where Beis Shammai is more lenient and Beis Hillel are more strict. According to the Tana of the previous Perek, there are no more, we listed all of them. But Rabbi Yehuda had a tradition that in the following six arguments, Beis Shammai was the one who said the more lenient opinion. The Tana of the previous Mishnah presumably held that the opinions which we're going to see now were reversed, such that Beis Shammai was more strict. And the first one is Dam Nevelos, the blood of a Nevela. Nevela is an animal which has died without receiving any valid Shechita. Shechita permits it to be eaten, but then Avela is a dead animal without having received Shechita, and it's forbidden to eat an Avela. As well as that, the flesh of an Avela is Tomei. The question is, what about the blood? So Mishamai Metarin, Mishamai say that the blood is Tahar, and this is learnt from Psukim, that only the flesh of the Nevela is Tomei. However, we still Metamin, we still say that the blood is Tomei, and the Gemara explains this is as long as the blood, there is at least a revius of blood, that's a liquid measurement, because once this blood congeals and becomes hard, it will be the size of a kazayas, the size of an olive, and once the blood is hardened, it will appear similar to the flesh of the animal. Now, a kazayas of a Nevela's flesh does become, it is Tomei and makes things Tomei which touch it. And since the blood, once it will be dry, looks like that, the blood is also Tomei Midrabbanan, according to Beis Hillel. Alright, the second argument is Beitza Nevela, an egg of a Nevela animal. If, for example, somebody shechts a chicken, he slaughters a chicken, but something went wrong with the slaughtering, and the slaughtering was not valid, and therefore this is effectively an animal which has died without Shechita. It's a Nevela, and it's forbidden to eat that animal, but inside the animal, he finds a egg which had not yet been laid, of course. It was still inside the animal. And the question is, do we include this egg as being part of the chicken, part of the mother, and therefore, just like it's forbidden to eat the mother because she's an Avela, and she requires valid slaughtering, so too it's forbidden to eat the egg? Or no, do we say that the egg is something else? It is separate from the mother, and the prohibition of eating an Avela does not apply to the egg of an Avela. So the answer is it depends on how developed the egg is, and there is a certain stage where we consider it developed enough that on a midiraisa level, it's considered to be separate from the mother chicken, and it would be totally permitted to eat that egg, because we look at it as an egg, not as part of the chicken anymore. Now, we're talking about after that stage where midiraisa, it would be permitted to eat this egg, and it's not considered to be part of the chicken. So it's not included in the prohibition of eating an Avela. However, midrabbanan, even past that stage, it could be it's forbidden. If there are eggs which are similar to it, which are being sold by themselves in the marketplace, and that means that the eggs are hard and the shell is properly developed, it's not soft at all, and that's how they were sold in the marketplace, then muteres, it will be permitted to eat it. It's not considered part of the mother chicken at all. Vimlav, but if not, that means that it's still slightly soft, then even though midiraisa is considered developed enough that it's not considered secondary to the mother and part of the prohibition of eating the Nevela, rather it's separate and it is permitted. Nevertheless, midrabbanan asura, it is forbidden, since we still see that connection, as it were, to the mother chicken, so it's included in the prohibition of eating a Nevela. Umoidim uvetas tereifa. However, they both agree, even Bishamai agrees, regarding an egg of an animal which is a treifa. Treifa is an animal which is forbidden to eat due to there being an internal wound inside that animal. And often we only find out that it's a treifa once we slaughter the animal and we see that there's a wound inside of it. But either way, if we discover that it is a treifa, then shehi asura, even the egg is forbidden. And it's forbidden midiraisa, because the egg grew in a state of forbiddenness. Meaning at the stage where the egg was fully developed and became an egg, even before the animal was slaughtered, the animal was already forbidden. So anything which comes from it is also forbidden. The prohibition of eating a treifa is not as a result of the death of the animal, like a Nevela. With a Nevela, it's as a result of how the animal died. So that doesn't affect something which is already considered separate from the animal. However, if the prohibition existed even before it died, and at that stage the egg was considered part of the animal, at least until it was developed, so the prohibition is placed on the egg as well, and so it's forbidden to eat the egg. Alright, the third machlokes, the third argument between Mishnah and Beis Hillel is referring to dam nochris, the blood of a non-Jewish woman, which comes out of her womb, her uterus. Midiraisa, this blood is tohar, even though when it comes out of a Jewish woman, she would be tomei, either as a nidor or a zova. There are different levels, different types of tumor which apply to a Jewish woman when she bleeds. However, it's learned from Pesukim that this only applies to a Jewish woman, not to a non-Jewish woman. However, midrabbanan, in order to distance people from mixing with non-Jews, it was decreed that liquids which come out of her body, such as her spit or her urine, midrabbanan, they are considered to be tomei. However, we're going to see that according to Beis Shammai, even midrabbanan, her blood remains tahar, and they never decreed regarding her blood, since it's not common that somebody would touch the blood which came out of her womb, that came out of her body via her uterus. So they didn't need to make a decree regarding that liquid. But the other liquids which come out of her body, midrabbanan, they are tahmei. However, we're going to see that according to Beis Hillel, even the blood is Tomei Midrabanan. However, there is still a difference between a Jewish woman's blood and a non-Jewish woman's blood. A Jewish woman's blood is Tomei whether it is still wet or even once it's dried up. However, when the Rabbanon decreed that the non-Jewish woman's blood will be Tomei, that is only as long as it is still wet in a liquid form. And the reason why they wanted to differentiate is because of a case where something which is Truma or something which is a Korban becomes Tomei when touching her blood. And now in general, when Truma or a Korban becomes Tomei, it needs to be burnt. Now, if it's not Tomei, it's forbidden to burn it because it's holy food. But if it is Tomei, then you are obligated to burn it and it cannot be eaten. Now, if something is Tomei Midrabanan, then we get into a bit of a sticky situation. On a Midraisa level, it's not Tomei, so it's forbidden to burn it. However, on a Midrabanan level, it is Tomei, so you need to burn it. So the halacha in such a situation is not to do anything. Of course, you can't burn it, because Midraisa, it is still Tahar. But we're afraid that people won't necessarily realize that this is Tomei only Midrabanan. At the end of the day, it's the blood of a woman which came out of her, and the blood which comes out of a Jewish woman is certainly Tomei Midraisa. And so in order to differentiate between the tumah of the blood which comes out of a Jewish woman and the tumah of blood which comes out of a non-Jewish woman, there is a difference in the extent of the tumah, such that if it comes out of a non-Jewish woman, it only is Tomei if it is still wet. Now, Yisrael and Basil also argue about V'dam Tahar Shel Metzara'as, the blood of purity of a woman who has Tzara'as. What exactly are we talking about? So the halacha is that when a woman gives birth to a son, then she is Tomei for the next 7 days. If she gives birth to a woman, to a daughter, she is Tomei for the next 2 weeks, the next 14 days. And after that period of Tumah, for the next either 33 days if she gave birth to a son, or 66 days if she gave birth to a daughter, for that period of time, any blood which comes out of her uterus, which would generally make her Tomei, during that period would not make her Tomei, as a Nida or a Zova, whatever it may be. However, if she gets Tzara'as, certain spots on her body which make her Tomei, she would of course be Tomei as a Mitzara'as, and the halach is that the liquids which come out of a Mitzara'as' body are Tomei. And this includes the blood which comes out of her uterus. And over here, it could be that even during that period of 33 or 66 days, where in general the blood which comes out of her is Tohar, it could be that over here there'll be Tomei, because she's a Metzara'as. There's a different reason, an additional reason, to make this blood Tomei, that it's blood which came out of Metzara'as. So the question is, when the Torah said that during that 33 or 66 days, the blood which comes out of her body is Tahar, is that only in a case where it's just blood which would make her a Nida or a Zava? Or does it even apply when there is a different additional reason to make that blood Tomei? For example, in case she was a Metzara'as. So the Mishnah says, B'shamay Mitarin, in both these cases, B'shamay say that the blood is Tahar, and it's important to note that it's two totally different reasons. And we're discussing two totally different things. The blood of a non-Jewish woman is Tahar. The point is that we don't say that Midrabanan it is Tomei, because it's uncommon. There's no need to decree that it will be Tomei in order to distance people from having relations with, being friends with non-Jews. And also the blood of a Mitzara'as during those 33 or 66 days, that would be Tahar, and this is Midraisa, it is Tahar, because with Shammai hold that the blood during those days is Tahar, whatever happens, even if there is an additional reason that the blood should be Tomei. However, Vesil and Vesil say, Karukoch Mein Ragleha, it is Tomei on the level of her spit or her urine, the point being that it's Tomei only as long as it is wet. That's the halacha regarding the spit or urine which comes out of a Tomei woman, that it's Tomei only as long as it is still wet. So in the case of the blood of a non-Jewish woman, it's Tomei in order to distance people from being friends with non-Jews, but it's not Tomei to the full extent as the blood which comes out of a non-Jewish woman, as a Jewish woman, as we explained, in order to differentiate between the two types of tumah. And regarding the blood during the 33 or 66 days after the period of Tumah, after a woman gives birth, so she's also Mitzara'as, according to Beis Hillel, the blood which comes out would be Tomei, but it's learned from Pesukim that the blood would only be Tomei as long as it is wet, even though in general, blood which is Tomei would be Tomei even once it dries. Alright, the fifth argument between Mishnah and Beis Hillel is Oichlan Peiros Shviyas B'Toivah V'Shalei B'Toivah. One can eat the produce of Shemitah once every 7 years. Is a year of Shemitah, during which everybody's produce becomes ownerless, that anybody can come and take it and eat it. So when somebody comes and eats the produce which is in someone else's field, he can do so with gratitude or not with gratitude. Ketuvah Beis Shammai, that's according to the opinion of Beis Shammai. Meaning you don't have to go and tell the owner that you're taking it and say thank you, because it's totally ownerless. However, we still say, you can only eat it if you go and let the person, the owner of that field, know that you're taking it, and show gratitude for that. And this is midrabanon, because the law is that it's permitted, if somebody, let's say, blocks off his field during Shemitah, he's not allowed to do that, because anyone can come into his field and take the produce, it's ownerless. And if he, let's say, keeps his fences there and doesn't open it up for everybody to come in, the halacha is that you're allowed to go in and break the fence down in order to get in and get the food. However, if you're allowed to do that for a full year, once every 7 years during the Shemitah year, we're afraid that during the other years, you might come to do the same thing. And therefore, according to Beis Hillel, midrabanon, you need to do this differently during Shemitah. You have to go and tell the person that you're taking the produce and thank him for it, in order that during other years, people don't just start breaking into other people's fields and taking their produce. All right, number six, hachimes, a flask made out of leather, which is used to hold water. If it gets a hole in it, then it's no longer considered to be a useful utensil, and therefore it cannot become tomei. What happens, however, if you tie it up so you can still use it as a flask? Bishamai say tzerua imedes. It only becomes tomei once again if it's been kept like that for a long time, such that even if you were to now untie it, the leather would have crinkled enough and closed up that hole enough that the water wouldn't come out of the flask, even once you untie the knot which you made. Only then is it considered to really be a proper flask, like it had been until then, and so it would be able to become tomei. Something needs to be a real utensil for it to become tomei. However, we still say, as soon as you tie it, avav b'she'enot tzerura, even if the hole has not been closed up, and if you were to untie it, then it would not be useful as a flask. Since right now you can use it as a flask, so it's still considered to be useful in the same way as it was until now, and therefore it can still become tomei. Mishnah Beis, Rabbi Yossi says, Shisha Devarim, there are an additional six things, which are Mekula Beis Shammai, Beis Chum, Beis Hillel, among the cases where Beis Shammai is more lenient and Beis Hillel are more strict. Number one, Ho'if Elim Agvina La Shulchan, birds like chickens can go up together with cheese on the same table, but Ve'enu Nechol, it cannot be eaten together with the cheese, Kedir Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai. Midoraisa, it's forbidden to eat, cook, or benefit from a mixture of milk and meat. However, that's only meat which comes from a real animal. If it comes only from a bird, however, it is not included in that prohibition. And with Midoraisa, it's permitted to eat something like chicken together with milk or cheese. However, due to the similarity of chicken meat to meat of another animal, Midrabanan, it's forbidden to eat them together. Now, an additional law regarding mixing milk and meat together is that it's forbidden Midrabanan for two people to eat on the same table where one person is eating meat and the other person is eating milk. Or even if it's one person, it's forbidden to have on the table that you're eating meat also to have milk there, in case you come to actually eat them together. However, according to Beis Shammai, you are allowed to have chicken or other meat of birds on the same table as milk, since even if you come to eat it together, that's only forbidden midrabanan. And so we're less concerned, we don't make a decree regarding that case, rather only a case where if you do come to eat them together, you would violate a prohibition midraisa. However, it can neither be brought up onto the same table as milk and cheese, and all the more so it cannot be eaten together. Right, number two, Tomin Rizesman al Shemen Vanon al Yayin. One is able to separate Truma, which is one of the gifts of produce which a farmer needs to give to a Koyain, and has to separate a particular amount per each field. And if, let's say, he's processed half of his grapes into wine, but half of them he hasn't yet processed into wine. Kedir Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, he is able to separate grapes on behalf of the wine as Truma. Let's say, based on the amount of grapes which there were from his entire field, he needs to separate 20 grapes as truma. Even once he's processed half of the food into wine, he doesn't need to separate truma from the wine itself and give that to the kohanim, but rather he's able to still separate 20 grapes on behalf of all of the grapes and wine together and give just the grapes to the kohanim. However, we still say in Tormin, he cannot do this, because we still learn from Psukim that you can only separate Truma from something which has been totally processed. Now, grapes could be considered totally processed if you're not planning on turning them into wine, but something which was turned into wine, so its processing was only completed once it was turned into wine. So in relation to the wine, grapes are considered to be not fully processed, and therefore Truma cannot be separated from grapes onto wine, according to Beis Hillel. And same goes for olives on behalf of the oil. Alright, number 3, Hazariah Aramis Bakerem, one who plants a different species within 4 amas of a vineyard. This is forbidden under the prohibition of Kilayim, Kilei Kerem. And the halacha is that the vines which are near there become totally forbidden to even benefit from. Now, how many vines become forbidden? It's learned from Psukim that the size of a vineyard, whatever is considered to be halachically a vineyard, not just a small collection of different vines which are next to each other, but enough of them that it's actually considered to be now a field of vines, a vineyard. So the size of a vineyard which is nearest to that other species which was planted there becomes forbidden. The question is, what is the size of a vineyard? So Bishamai say, Kiddush Ra'achas, he makes one row of vines forbidden. According to Beis Shammai, one row of vines, if there are at least 5 vines there, then one row of them is enough to be considered a vineyard. And so that is the amount which becomes forbidden. Beis Solomon Beis Hillel say, Kiddush Teishrois, he has made forbidden 2 rows of vines, because according to Beis Hillel, it's only considered to be a vineyard, and not just a series of single vines which happen to be next to each other, if there are at least 2 rows, and therefore that is the amount which becomes forbidden when a different species of plants are planted there in the vineyard. Now, the 4th argument in this Mishnah regards the halachos of challah. Challah is another gift which one separates and gives to the kohen, and this refers to the gift of the dough. A portion of the dough, once he's made the flour into dough and is turning it into bread, he separates a portion of the dough and gives it to a kohen. Now, it's learned from Pesukim that this only applies to regular dough which is being made into bread. The question is, hama'isah? One who makes the bread by pouring boiling hot water onto the flour and then baking it. He doesn't make the dough in a regular way and then bakes the dough. Rather, he pours boiling hot water onto the flour and then puts it into the oven. The question is, does this come under the category of regular dough being made into bread? So with Shammai patron, with Shammai say that that you would be exempt from separating challah from that because it's not regular bread. However, they still amachayvin, they still obligate that in challah, because the main cooking of the bread is done in the oven. Even though you already did put boiling hot water on the flour, so you could argue that this is being cooked rather than baked. Since the main thing did happen in the oven, that was the main cooking of the bread, so it is considered to be baked, and therefore would be obligated in challah. Number 5, matbilim b'chardelis, kedivrei Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, one can purify things by dipping them into flowing water. Even though in general a mikveh only works to purify things if it is still, if the water is still, because there needs to be a minimum amount of water which is there. If it's constantly flowing, then there's never that minimum amount of water in one place. And Beis Shammai also agree to that. However, we're talking about a case where it's flowing into a pool of water at the bottom, and the pool of water is still. It's just that at this particular point, the water is flowing, and according to Beis Shammai, since it does flow into a mikveh which would be valid, we consider this part of the water to be connected to the part of the mikveh which is still and valid, so even this part of the mikveh, the flowing part, is also valid, according to Beis Shammai. However, Beis Shammai say, Imat Bilin, you cannot use that as a mikveh to purify things, since this part of the mikveh is not still. Right, number 6, Gershon is Gag Arab Sochim, somebody who converts to become Jewish on Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan. Bishamai say, Toivel, he can go to the mikveh, Va'ichal es Pischilo Erev, and eat his Korban Pesach that evening. However, Bishil say, Aposhmin Arla, one who separates from being uncircumcised, from being a non-Jew, Kaposhmin Akever, is as if he has separated from a grave. And just like somebody who became Tommy from a dead body is Tommy for 7 days, and say would not be able to eat the Korban Pesach, the same applies to a convert. And the reason for Beis Hillel is because we're afraid that this person was not Jewish, and he had contact with a dead body, let's say, a day before he converted. Now the halacha is that a non-Jew who touches a dead body does not become Tommy. The whole idea of Tumah that only applies to a Jew. So technically speaking, as soon as he converts, he should be able to eat the Korban Pesach, because when he touched the dead body, he wasn't Jewish, so he didn't become Tomei at all. However, we're concerned that the next year, he might become Tomei, let's say, a day or two before Pesach, and he'll think back to the previous year, and he'll say, last year, I also became Tomei a day or two before Pesach, and yet I was allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, so I'll do the same thing this year. Just that this year, there's a massive difference, because he became Tomei when he was Jewish. And so he really did become Tomei, so it's forbidden for him to eat the Korban Pesach within 7 days, before he has been fully purified. So in order to avoid that situation, Beis Hillel say that anybody who converts within 7 days before Pesach cannot eat the Korban Pesach. Mijabonon. Okay, Mishnah Gimel, Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel says, Shalosh Devarim, there are an additional three arguments, Mekudah Beis Shammai, Mechum Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai is more lenient and Beis Hillel are more strict. Now, Mijabonon, holy scrolls, scrolls of Tanakh, have a low degree of Tumah, such that if regular food or something touches them, it would not become Tomei. But if Truma touches them, then the Truma would become Tomei. The Truma would become a Shlishla Truma, third degree Tomei. And the reason for this is because people began to store their Truma next to their scrolls of Tanakh. They figured that both of them were, they had Kedusha, they had holiness and sanctity to them. So it's good to store them together. However, what happened was mice would come because of the Truma, which is food, and the mice would end up eating away at the scrolls as well, and making them ruined. So in order to stop people doing this, it was decreed that Mijabonon, the scrolls will make the Truma Tomei. And not only that, the scrolls will even make somebody's hands Tomei to the degree that if the hands touch Truma, then the Truma will become Tomei. The first argument discusses Koheles. This is one of the books, one of the Sfarim in Ksuvim, written by Shlomo HaMelech, and according to Beis Shammai, Koheles Einam Tomei Saradayim, a scroll which has Koheles written on it would not make one's hands Tomei Kedir Beis Shammai according to Beis Shammai, because according to Beis Shammai, Koheles was not written with Nevuah, with prophecy, but rather with the huge, huge wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech, but it wasn't written with Nevuah, and therefore it's not considered to be part of Tanakh, so it's not part of this decree in order to avoid the scrolls being ruined. However, they saw him and they saw the same time as Hayadayim, it would make one's hands Tomei, because it was written with Nevuah, not just extra wisdom, and therefore it isn't included in this decree Midrabanan. Alright, number two, Mechatos, the Pora Aduma solution of water mixed with the Pora Aduma's ashes, She'os Mitzvosan, once they've been used for the mitzvah of purifying people, before they've been used, the Psukim say that they are Tomei, if somebody touches them, he would become Tomei, but that's all until they've been used. Once they've been used, Beisham Matarim, Beisham may say that they are Tohar, because they no longer have the status of Pora Aduma waters, since they're no longer being used for that. However, we still say that they still would make somebody Tomei if they touch it, since they still have that status of Paraduma waters, even if they're not going to be used again for that purpose. Alright, and final third argument, HaKetzach. This is some sort of spice, some sort of cumin perhaps, which is used for flavoring in different foods. Beis Shammai Mitarin, Beis Shammai say that it is Tohar, meaning it cannot become Tomei if, let's say, it's by itself. It cannot become Tomei because it's not considered to be a food. It's used to give flavor to different foods, but it itself is not considered a food in its own right. However, we still say that it can become Tomei just like every other food can. And the Mishnah adds, V'chein Meisters, the same argument applies regarding separating tithes. Tithes need to be separated from food, so according to Beis Shammai, that this doesn't have the regular status of food, so it would be exempt from tithes, but according to Beis Hillel, that it is considered regular food, it would be obligated in tithes. This shiur was significantly longer than normal, and this is of course due to the fact that pretty much every Mishnah discusses so many different vast topics which require explanation.